Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to say that the speaker before me has done such a great job. And we believe that she will still be a blessing to us in New York too. Sometime soon. Father Eternal, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for yesterday night. And thank you for the things you have shared with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the season we are in. And thank you because you want us to do greater works. We pray this morning that the tools we need for greater works you will give to us in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let somebody shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to talk about doing greater things by divine revelation. I was talking to my staff in the church a few days ago, pastors, and I said, you don't want church to just be a place where you're academic. You want church to be a place where you can meet the needs of the people, and that there are different ways by which you can know what needs to meet. You could, for example, ask your members in the church to write 5 prayer points, and you'll pray over them. And that by reading their prayer points, you can just know what the problems of your church members are. And I say to you, you are going to be able to now apply yourself to solving the problems of your people. And by putting them in maybe 3, 4, 5 categories, maybe you see they have health issues, they have financial issues, they have marital issues, and then you can meet those needs. I said that way you are solving the needs by information. And I think what I shared yesterday and what we have heard from Pastor K this morning is meeting the needs by the information you can gather, either from the people, from your community, from where you are. But you can also do greater works, not just by information alone. You can do greater works by revelation. Make sense? That is, you are not asking information from people, you are getting it direct from God. And I believe that this afternoon, as we share together, there will be revelation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the book of John, in chapter 1, when you read in verse 50 and verse 51, the Bible says Jesus had his encounter with Nathanael. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than this." And he said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, he had seen Nathanael and he had said, "Oh, I saw you under the tree." He said to him that he was a man that had no vile or no guile at all. Nathanael was like, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Oh, is it because I said that you think that's nothing, that's really small?" He said, "You are still going to see greater things." And Nathanael was wondering, "How am I going to see greater things?" I believe God is going to show us how to do greater things. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 5, when you read in verse 19 and verse 20, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." Now, this is the crux of the message. What I'm simply saying is, you can't do greater things if God has not done greater things. That if you want to do greater things, then you have to have an insight to see what God is already doing. There are many of us that are laboring, trying to get things done, but God is not involved. And there are many things that God has already finished that we are not aware of. And I'm praying that God will open your eyes to see where he has finished the work.
Amen.
We once had the opportunity of asking a man of God, And we said, you come into a congregation and while ministering, you go around and you just pick people, say, you come. And you just tell them the story of their life and you minister to them. They get healing, they get well. He said, how do you know who to pick? He said, when he goes in the congregation, he's asking God, where have you finished the work? And God directs him to, I finished that work. And I said, which work have you finished? And so God tells him what he has finished. And so he attends to them. So you may have a congregation of 1,000 people and he attends to only 5. And what is simply happening is, he's going to the places where God has finished the work. I'm simply saying that you can't do greater things on earth except heaven has finished the greater things. And I'm praying that our eyes will open to see the greater things that heaven has finished in the name of Jesus. Even Jesus didn't do greater things except the things he has seen his Father doing. And that is why if you too are going to do greater things, you must see your Father that he has done them before you can do it. Now, the Bible tells us when you read in John chapter 5 verse 30, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. He said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He said, on my own I can do nothing. Now, you too, if Jesus said on his own he could do nothing, then who are you to think you can do something? Now, what that simply means is you can't do anything except what heaven has done. And so really on earth, we are not doing anything. We are just simply executing what heaven has finished. And there are many things that heaven has finished that is looking for men to just be the rubber stamp. Now, what do I mean? He's looking for men that through whom he can manifest the glory. Now, somehow it looks like the things God has finished doesn't get into manifestation until he finds a man. And I'm praying that at this meeting, he will find somebody. And so all you need to do is to ask, what are the works that you have finished in my community? What are the things you have finished in this church? What are the things you have finished around me? Open my eyes to see those things you have finished, and I will apply myself to them, and then the whole world will start celebrating me. I'm sure you remember the story of the donkey that was tied down and nobody had ever used the donkey. And they said, bring the colt. And the Bible says they went to untie the colt and they brought to Jesus. And Jesus rode upon the colt into Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us, as the colt was coming in, they gave the colt a red carpet treatment. They laid palm fronds on the floor. And they said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I keep saying, while they were doing that, the colt was just nodding his head. Why? It was the colt leg that was on the red carpet. That's right. And even when they were going to celebrate Jesus, they said, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is sitting on the colt. But they kept saying, blessed is one coming in the name of the Lord. Who is coming in the name of the Lord? The colt. What am I saying? When you know the revelation of God and you apply yourself to it, they'll be celebrating you. Meanwhile, you did nothing. God is the one who had finished it. And I pray that the finished work God will show to us. Amen. I said the finished work God will show to us. Amen. Many years ago, I had an opportunity in Africa to be asked to come and pray for somebody. It was a Sunday. And they said this military officer, the team of people pray with him every weekend. But that the pastor that prays with him traveled and he won't be around. I should please come and pray. Okay, no problem. And so when I was good, I said, Lord, what shall I do? What is this work? And God said, it's a finished work. And God said to me, just tell him that every other man's rod had been rejected, but his own rod will be accepted. And you know that scripture, that story about when they brought the 12 rods of the very representatives of the tribes of Israel, and then they accepted only the rod of Aaron, and every other rod was rejected. And so I got there, and I was sharing that message, and the man got a phone call from the president. And the president said, can you please meet me at the airport now? And the man said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but this is a call I can't reject. I'm under authority. So he went to the airport. And the very next morning, it was on the news, this man had been made one of the service chiefs, you know, heads of the military. And the man sent for me. He said, there's a pastor that has been praying with me for months and for years, and nothing happened. He said, but you came, and you were just talking about my rod being accepted, and every other rod would be rejected. And right as you were speaking, a phone call came, said, there must be something about you. Now, by the time they were going to inaugurate him and set him up, he made sure I was very close to him. Now the pastor who had been praying with him, he sat that one a few seats away. So that one happened to be a friend. And I said, oh, where were you on that day? He said he actually went to a praying mountain to go and pray for the man. And so that was why he traveled. He was like, this man, we just need to pray. God needs to do something in his life. He's such a committed Christian. If they're going to look for somebody to give an assignment to in this country, he should consider him. And so that man was praying on the mountain. But God brought me to a work that has finished. Now, he said, other men have labored. But I'm going to bring you into their labor, that you may reap where you did not sow. Now, I need to tell you that there is a place of reaping where you sow, but there is another level of reaping. You reap where you did not sow. I'm saying to somebody this morning that God is taking you to that level where other men labor and you will just go there to reap. If you are going to reap, can I hear a better amen?
Amen.
Now, you don't reap when you are the one laboring. You are sowing and laboring. There is an harvest for that. There is a place for that. It's good to work at. It's good to sow. But there is a higher level where you are not the one laboring at all. You are just kneeling down and saying, God, which work have you finished? Now, when God has finished the work, other men will have done the laboring. You will just be brought in at the finishing point to just come and reap the harvest. He didn't tell them, the children of Israel, in the book of Joshua. He said to them, he said, I've given you houses that you did not build. I've given you vineyards you did not labor for. And I'm saying to somebody also, in the city and community where you are, there are things that are already finished. There are harvests that are already completed. There are things that are already settled. By the mercy of God, your eyes will be open unto them. So what we are saying is you need revelation to do greater works. And so the moment you have revelation from God, not just collecting information from the community, having revelation from God to do greater works, and you step into doing them, they begin to celebrate you. Just like that cult was celebrated, they begin to celebrate you as if you are a superstar. But all that happened was you got insight from heaven. As the Lord God of heaven liveth, your eyes will open.
Yeah.
Insight will come to you from heaven in the name of Jesus. If you believe and you agree, let your amen be better.
Amen.
So the Bible tells us, when we read in the book of Revelation chapter 4 in verse 1, the Bible says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show you the things which must happen hereafter. Now, God wants to show you things that are going to happen. And when God opens your eyes to see the things that are to happen in your community or happen around you, and he applies you to it, is because he wants to celebrate you. And I'm praying that your eyes will open to those things. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you read in verse 9 downwards to verse 12, he said, eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love him. He said, but he reveals it to them by his spirit. I said to somebody that the spirit of God can reveal what God has finished to you. And I'm praying that the spirit of God will reveal it to you. So I find out that if I gather information, I might spend much time and much sweat. But when I have revelation, there's no sweat at all. I just go doing great works. And I just keep having great harvest. I just enter into labor where other people have labored. And I keep harvesting and enjoying myself. Amen. And so there are things that God has finished. But there's a lesson. There are many things that God has finished that many of us are not applying ourselves to it. Even when revelation comes to us, we still find it difficult to step into it. How many times have you been praying and a strong idea came into you as you were praying? A strong thought came into you and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you're praying, oh God, thank you. Now, in the place of prayer, you were having revelation. But when you come to mortal earth, I'm talking about when you come back from the spirit and you become human again, then you begin to, did I really think I was going to do that? Oh, there are 10 hurdles to cross. There are 10 mountains to overcome. Oh, no. That's not real.
Wow.
That's not real.
Wow.
Now, what was happening was, in the spirit realm, you had revelation.
Yeah.
But when you came back to the human realm, you discountenance the revelation. Revelation will not come to pass except you apply by faith. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when you read in chapter 4, he said the same things that were shared with us were shared with them, but it did not profit them because it did not mix with faith in them, although all these works had been finished from the foundation of the earth. There are things that God has finished, but if it does not mix with faith in you, you will not profit from it. There's somebody hearing me. The next time you are praying, the next time you are waiting on God, and God is inspiring you and telling you, do this, don't doubt God. Step out in faith. Don't doubt God. Step out in faith. We've heard so much this morning about how our pastor had stepped out in faith to do certain things. I'm sure the first time it was like, is it possible? Can it be done? But today she can look back and know that it's finished work. Yes. Actually, nothing that we accomplish in life, we're able to accomplish by ourselves, is usually by his grace and his mercy. The issue now is, how well are you taking advantage of the grace of God to be able to do what you do? Am I talking to somebody? I like one thing she said along the line. She said, it's hard work. I don't sit down pretty, just looking. I work hard. And what did Apostle Paul say? He said, by the grace, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, not I, but the grace that works through me. Now, what was he saying? He said, I don't want to boast, but I labored more than them all. He said, not I, but the grace that was in me. What was Paul saying? It is grace that has made what I am, but listen to me, I didn't just sit and cross my legs. That grace pushed me to work hard. He said, I labored more than they all. Listen, Apostle Paul was not there when Jesus was with them. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples or one of the 12 apostles, but he's the greatest apostle today. Why? He took advantage of grace to labor more than they all. What am I saying? When you have revelation, you need grace to be able to get it done. When you have revelation, you need faith to step out. When you have revelation to do something, don't doubt God. It is not you that will do it. It is grace. I don't know if you heard her when she was talking earlier. And she said that your case is different. And I was saying, was she here yesterday? And how she made mistakes. She had herself and her husband on the board. But there was a friend somewhere there to fix it. And he said, somehow, it doesn't matter what others are punished for. But in your own case, it will be different. And what does that simply mean? It simply means you are not the one doing this. It is grace that is doing it. And what is grace? Grace is God that work in us. Grace is simply God doing the work. But he needs you to go out there. He needs you to step out. He needs you to move. And grace will keep pushing you. And I'm saying to you today, the things you have received by revelation, and you thought they were just figment of your imagination, and you thought they were ordinary, and God is saying, step out, start doing something. I believe God, you will not be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid. Many things that make people great are things that we consider as crazy. Things we say, oh, no, this is crazy, this is out of the world. Let me tell you, if you want to think like the general public, you remain in the crowd. But if you want to stand out from the crowd, you have to think outside the box. And anytime God wants to make you great, he gives you ideas that are outside the box. Ideas you can't imagine. And I'm saying, don't be afraid of stepping into those ideas. As you start, people will tell you, you are crazy, you're not normal. Listen to me. You keep doing it. What makes you different is that you are doing something different from others. It's God talking to somebody. I believe God this afternoon that greater works you will do in the name of Jesus. If you believe, say better, amen. Now, the secret things you can only know by revelation. You can only know by revelation. You don't know the secret things by just running up and down. You can know the secret things by revelation. Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, when you read in verse 29, he said the secret things belong unto God. The secret things belong unto God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. Now, what does that simply mean? It means if it's not yet revealed, it's still in the realm of God. But if it is revealed, it is now mine. Now, if God reveals something to you, Because he has revealed it, it's yours already. It's yours for taking. Now, if it was not revealed to you, well, then it's not yours. But so if I sleep and God tells me something, or I'm praying and a thought flashes through my mind, or for it to cross my mind at all, it is mine. And there are things that have flashed through your mind that you just thought, oh, why am I daydreaming? Why am I allowing my imaginations to run wild? Child of God, our God, if you like, likes varieties. And he likes you to think beyond your imagination. And if revelation has come to you on that matter, it is yours already. I want you to say, it is mine already. And I believe that you will have it. In the name of Jesus. Now in Psalm 25, the book of Psalm 25, the Bible says in verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with what? With them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now what does that simply mean? It means because I'm walking in his counsel, I fear God, I respect God, I live a holy life, I keep living right, I do the things of God, I'm entitled to the secrets of the Lord. And so, as men of God, children of God, I find out that you are so committed to God in the house of God, but somehow it looks like those who don't even go to church at all know more secrets than we know. All just because some of the things the Lord has inspired us or has put in our hearts, we are so afraid to start them. But I believe after today, you won't discountenance the thoughts that God brings in your mind. You won't discountenance it. You will take them seriously and you will attend to them. You will walk with them. Now, you remember the story of Daniel. The Bible tells us that the king had a dream and the king wanted the magicians to interpret his dream. And they said, tell us your dream and we'll interpret. And the king said, you think you're smart. I tell you the dream, you give me an interpretation, I'm compelled to take it. You tell me my dream and then give me the interpretation. And the magician said, there's nobody in the realm that can do that, O king. And the king said, then I'll kill all of you. And then somehow Daniel was one of these people that would have been wiped out. Then Daniel asked the king, can you give us a little time? And the Bible says Daniel took his friends and they went before God. And they said, God, you are the revealer of secrets. Can you tell us the dream that the king dreamt? And that same night that they asked, that same night, this dream of another man was given to Daniel. And Daniel said, God, you are the revealer of secrets. Now, if God can tell you the dream of another man, how would God tell you your own dream? How would God tell you? Now, all they did was to ask. And that same night, why can't you ask God for the secret that will make you great where you are? Just ask. And many times we think that we need to go through some serious exercise before we can hear from him. But do you know, if you ask today, before the end of tonight, he will tell you what you need to do. Do you believe it? Yeah. That you will not need to beat around the bush. Yeah. That you will not need to be laboring in vain. Yeah. That you just hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You just do just that one thing, and you break through in it. Yeah. And I believe there's somebody hearing me that you will ask today. Yeah. I'll give you another illustration. You remember Elisha in 2 Kings in chapter 6, between verse 10 and verse 18. The Bible says the king of Syria decided to besiege Samaria or Israel. And then the king, several times we plot, and then Elisha will tell the king of Israel, don't go through that path. There's a trap there. And so they never got the king of Israel. So the king of Syria came and said, who amongst us is revealing our secrets to the king in Israel? And he said, no, there's nobody revealing any secrets. He said, there is a man in Israel. His name is Elisha. What you do in your bedchamber, O king, he knows. He knows when you are talking with your wife at night, he knows. He knows everything. It is that man that is telling the king not to go the way we have planned. Say, okay, let's sit down. We are going to get that man. You see, when the king said, let's sit down, we're going to get that man, I said, this king must be a fool. So he must be a fool. Because they just told you that what you do in your bedchamber, this man knows. Now you are sitting out to plan for him? Oh, no. What if I were that king? I would have found a way of employing Elisha into my cabinet. instead of plotting to finish the man who can see everything you are doing. And the Bible says they had a long list of soldiers that were going to take Elisha. And the Bible says the servant of Elisha woke up the next morning and he saw that they were surrounded. And he was like, wow, we are finished. And Elisha got up and said, no, we're not finished. And he said, oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And that day the eyes of the servant was opened. And he saw that surrounding them were chariots of fire, ready to fight for them. And then Elisha went to the soldiers that came to arrest him. And he said, God, smite them with blindness that they won't see. And the soldiers that were coming to arrest Elisha were smitten with blindness. And Elisha took them by hand and took them straight to the palace. And I got to this point and I said, all Elisha did was ask God, open the eyes of this servant that he may see. And by that simple prayer, the servant's eyes were opened to see the secret things. All Daniel did was, God, open our eyes, inner eyes, to see what the king dreamt at night. And God answered. I pray this afternoon that the revelation that will make you great, the revelation of greatness in the land of San Antonio, that you need to see, God will open your eyes to see it in the name of Jesus. God will open your eyes to see it. God will open your eyes to see it. God will open your eyes to see it in the name of Jesus. And I must tell you, the way it's going to come to you will be ways you are not planning. It might just be something speaking to you in your dream. It might be as you're walking on the street, something just well up in your inner man. Something that nobody has thought about before will just come in on you. Child of God, that is your revelation. That is the secret to your greatness. I pray in the name of Jesus, as you are going from this place today, may your eyes be open to see in the name of Jesus. And your eyes will see. Your eyes will open. You will see it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, how do we step into the finished work of God? The finished work. We're talking about things that God has finished. How do we step into it? Which is the secret of greater works. Let's go to John chapter 14. That's where we have the story about greater works from verse 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because I do what? I go unto my Father. Let's pause at that point. He said, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I am going to my Father. Now, before now, when Jesus is going to do anything on earth, he wants to know what his Father has done in heaven. Now, he's saying to us, you too will start doing like I'm doing. The works I'm doing, you will start doing it. And you will also do greater works because I'm leaving the earth. Not just leaving the earth, I'm going to headquarters. I'm going to where my Father is. Where things are done and then the earth simply executes it. Are you listening to me? Now, so what Jesus is saying to us is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is done where? In heaven. Before that will can be done on earth, it must have been done in heaven. If it is not done in heaven, it can't be done on earth. It doesn't matter how much you sweat. And that simply means that now Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's at the headquarters. And so anything we want on earth, we need to get him to do it in heaven. And it went on in that same John 14. He said, you will ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Where is he going to do it? In heaven. Make sense? He says, I will do it. Anything you ask in my name. Now, because of the relationship we have with him, And anytime we say we want this done in his name, he's simply going to execute that thing in heaven. And the moment he's done in heaven, we use faith to bring what has been done in heaven to manifest on earth. I don't know if I'm communicating. Am I reaching you? And so anytime I come and I say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, do this. What God goes to do is that Jesus at headquarters gets it done. I'm sure you have read the scripture in Matthew 16, where you read in verse 18 and 19, where Jesus said to Peter, and he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then the King James says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I would like to read that same scripture to you from the Amplified version, the Amplified, so that it can bring some depth. The Bible says in the Amplified version, and I tell you, you are Peter, Petrus, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you lose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Does it give you a different perspective?
Yes, sir.
Now, when the Bible says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, he is simply saying, before we can bind it on earth, it must have been bound in heaven. Now, how do I get heaven to bind it? By simply saying, in the name of Jesus, Father, go ahead and deal with this situation. When heaven has done it, then I cannot speak to that situation on earth that is already done in heaven. I command you to loose him. Let him go. Did I connect with you? Do you get it? Now, I can't deal with any situation on earth if I don't have the backing of heaven. I can't. And if I want heaven to get anything done, I must first send it to heaven in the name of who?
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. You remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus? He went, he said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. He said, I'm saying this that all these people may know that I'm doing all this in your name. That's the aspect I want you to focus on. Now, while he was praying, he could have simply said, Lazarus, comfort. But he started by saying, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. I'm saying this that all these people may know that I'm doing all this in your name. He was simply saying, I don't want them to think that I'm the doer. I want them to know that you are the doer, I'm the executor. Oh my God, you got it. Now, he was simply saying to them that I want them to know that you are the strength behind the fire. You are the power behind the engine. And that it doesn't matter what you are saying, there is a greater one behind me. And so, after he said that, all he did was to say, Lazarus, comfort. And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth. When you know the connection, it's like a partnership. When you know how we work together with heaven, you find that you achieve greater results. And so if I want something to be done on earth, what do I do first? I get heaven to do it where? In heaven. Because it is only when it has been done in heaven that it can be executed here on earth. It can be executed here on earth. Now, how do you get heaven to go into action first? I told you that by calling on the name of who?
Jesus.
Now let's look at John chapter 16. John 16. The Bible says from verse 16. John 16, I want to go through that briefly. From verse 16, he said, a little while and you shall not see me. Again, a little while you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. Verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Then verse 19, it says in verse 19. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. And said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Let's go to verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. I want to just emphasize the verse 23. And in that day. And when?
In that day.
In that day. Now, Jesus was telling the disciples that a little while they will not see him, and a little while they will see him. And they were wondering, what is he talking about? So he was talking about the day when they won't see him and when they will now see him again. And what is that day? That was the day that he died and then he resurrected and he came back again. So from the time of his death and resurrection, the way we get things done on earth had changed. The Bible tells us that Jesus told them, he said, hitherto, you have not asked anything in my name. Now, what he was saying is, when I taught you how to pray the Lord's Prayer, I didn't put my name there. I said, you pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, and we went on and went on until we finished. We never used his name. He said, but from that day, when I said you will see me and you won't see me, from that day, you will ask anything in my name and it will be done. Now, so right now, our prayer is not patterned after the Lord's prayer anymore. Our prayer is now patterned in the name of who?
Jesus.
And he already had promised that when we pray in his name, he will do it in heaven. And now, when he has finished it in heaven, what brings it to the earth is faith. Hello. Does it make sense? And so, when I kneel down and I say, I want this grant to be given, and I'm preparing the grant, I want it given. As I kneel down to pray in the name of Jesus, heaven finishes the grant. Every error that I make in preparing the grant, heaven will use it as a stepping stone for favor. Because heaven is in charge. Am I communicating? Now, though I have prayed, I've written the grant, I must now work hard by faith. Bible says faith without work is what? Is death. And so I can't say I believe God and I'm not doing anything. I must exercise faith and execute what I have seen in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the physical. Does it make sense? You remember when God was speaking to Moses, that he should build the altar, build the temple according to the pattern he has shown him in heaven. What it simply means is, every time you have settled it in heaven, you start building it on earth according to how heaven has revealed it to you. And I believe God that as we begin to do this, you will see heaven arising on your behalf in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me close. I want to tidy it up. The Bible says in verse 24 of that John 16, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. At that day you shall ask, verse 26 now, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Let me read that verse 26 in the New Living Translation. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. Verse 27, he says, "For the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from the Lord." Jesus said, when you ask in his name, he is not saying that he's going to ask the Father on your behalf. He said, the Father also loves you. So anything you ask in his name, he will grant. Now, there are some people, I write my check, and I sign the check, and I make it blank. And I give it to you, sir, my blank check, signed with my name. And then you call me and you say to me, "I'm broke. I don't have some money. Can you help me?" And I say to you, "I gave you some checks, didn't I?" And you say, "Really? You didn't write anything on the check. You just signed it." And I say, "All you need, you have already." And then you say to me, "But it's just check, it's just paper. I need money. Can you come and help me?" The church today is waiting for Jesus to come and solve their problem. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying, "All that you need, I have given you." I'm going somewhere. You know, Paul said 3 times, "I cried to God, this messenger of Satan that is buffeting me, can you take away?" And God said to him 3 times, "My grace is sufficient for you." All we need as a church, we already have. The master is not going to do anything new for any one of us. What we need for things to be finished in heaven, we have. And that is the authority of his name. So you see, Peter, after all this encounter, in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 3, the Bible says he was going to the gate called Beautiful at the hour of prayer. And he met a man who was at the gate of the temple, lame, born from his mother's womb, lame. And the man was asking for alms. And Peter looked at him and he said, "Look at us. Gold and silver we have not. But what we have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that man was struggling to rise up. Then Peter did what? Used his hand and pulled him up. The act of pulling him up is the act of putting work to your faith. Then they came back to Peter and they said, Peter said, "Why do you look at us as if it was our holiness or our prayers that has made this man whole?" He said, "No, it is faith in his name that has made him whole." What are we saying? What we need to do today is to be confident of the name that has been given to us. There is no other thing the master is going to do. If it was Warren Buffett, sir. You know Warren Buffett? That gave you a check and signed it. So you see the difference? You see the difference? He wasn't too sure of my check. But he was so sure of a Warren Buffett check. Now I can understand why he's not sure about my check. But what about the check of Jesus? Does it make sense? What I'm saying is, he has signed his name, Jesus. Whatsoever you want, write on it. And it shall be a finished work in heaven. And if you believe that that check carries value, there will be nothing too big for you to accomplish. Rise up on your feet. Is there a revelation that drops to your mind? Is there something that is so wild out of this world that jumps into your heart? Is there something that you are just trying to say, "Is it possible? Can it happen? Can it be done?" I want you to know that there is nothing too hard for the Most High to do. All you need is in the name of Jesus. the name of Jesus. I want you to know that the Bible says it is with faith and patience that they obtain the promise. What that simply means is there are some things that are already done and it takes patience for it to manifest. Sometimes it will take 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, 2 years. But if you really have faith, you won't doubt the fact that it will manifest. Am I talking to somebody? And so small things manifest quickly and big things take some time to manifest. But you must not lose your faith. You must not lose your faith. There's nothing you call in the name of Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing. That you say in the name of Jesus. That will not come to pass. It may take time, but it will surely, surely come to pass. I told you yesterday that we are building a church. Not that we have the money. Something that we feel will cost us about $10 million. And we have a school there. We have a hall there for community use. And we have the main sanctuary. Big, big, big stuff. And just this morning I heard that grants can be written.
That's right.
You know, God has a way of ordering your steps. Mm. That the right information comes to you at the right time. Mm. And you just can see how you can apply some things. Now, when that idea, that revelation came to me, it was something so big. It's still so big. It's like, how can we ever get it done? But let me tell you, it's nothing with God. Amen. If you have the faith and you believe it and you take a step of faith, you take a step of faith, there shall be a performance. Amen. Are there things in your heart, things you have stepped into, things you have started, things you have laid your hand on, and you are wondering, when will it happen? By the mercy of God, I want to say to you that because of this program, the time of manifestation has come. Yeah. The time for those great things to be accomplished, it has come. Amen. The time for those things to be done, it has come. Amen. And so you want to say, in the name of Jesus. Can I hear you say so? Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This project shall come to pass. This vision shall come to pass. This dream shall manifest. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree and declare that in the name of Jesus. It is coming to pass. The vision is coming to pass. The dream is coming to pass. In the name of Jesus. It is coming to pass. It is coming to pass. It shall not be delayed anymore. The time of his manifestation is now. In the name of Jesus. Greater works begin to happen. Greater works begin to happen. The greater works that the Lord has spoken about. They begin to happen now. In the name of Jesus. Let greater works begin to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Greater works from the throne of grace. I command it to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Oh, let your amen be louder. Do you know Joseph was 17 years old when God popped up a dream in his heart? And he shared the dream with people around him, his brothers. And the Bible says they envied him. And God made that dream to come back again. And the Bible says they hated him the more. Now, the number two is the number of divine establishment. Anytime you get a revelation or a thought or an idea, a dream, it pops up in your heart 1-2 times. It's confirmed that nothing can be done. That thing will happen.
Amen.
That thing will happen. Even Joseph himself said to the king, Pharaoh, when he went to interpret the dream, he said that you had this dream twice in 2 different ways. It's a sign that it will surely happen. And that was that there was going to be famine in the land. And then the king said to him, what do we do? And Joseph said, okay, we'll give counsel. And Joseph gave counsel on what to do so that when it happens, the damage will not be too much. And so even when a dream is determined to happen, even if it is a bad dream, you can ask God for wisdom to make sure the damage is not bad. Does it make sense?
Yes.
And so that you have it twice, it means it's divinely established. Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a truth shall be established.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? But you see, what was established to happen in Joseph's life did not happen until 13 years after.
Hmm.
He was 17 when he had the dream, but he didn't step into the palace until he was 30 years old. That something is determined to happen in your life does not mean it is today or tomorrow.
That's right.
But if you don't give up and you determine that what God has said will happen, this great work, and you hold on to it, I want to let you know it will come to pass. I'm here to tell somebody that don't give up your dream. Don't give up that dream. Don't give up that dream. Things might be looking bad right now. Don't give it up. I want you to know that how do we know if you have faith in your dream? The enemy, the world, will do many things to make you give it up. Oh, Joseph in the house of Potiphar, his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. And the wife of Potiphar threw him into the prison. Those things were enough to make a person give up his dream.
That's right.
I say, Lord, I think I was just daydreaming. I'm not sure. You see, God allowed you to see twice to let you know it wasn't an accident.
Mm.
To let it be settled in your heart that God showed me this thing.
Mm.
I don't know what God showed you. I don't know what you have been given by God to do. But I'm here to encourage you this afternoon that the dream God has given you, it will surely come to pass.
Amen.
And the time for it to come to pass, it has come.
Amen.
This afternoon, I want to just pray for this category of people. You had a dream. You started it. You believed it will come to pass. But up till now, you are still waiting. And you are already even thinking of giving it up. But I want to agree with you that the day of performance will come now.
Amen.
That your word will come quickly.
Amen.
If you are in the congregation, I'm talking about dreams that you've held on to. And you have been wondering, will it happen? Will it happen again? Please come forward. Great dreams. Great dreams. You might have suffered some assault. You might have been dealt with. You might have suffered some things that have made you to conclude that maybe there's no more hope for you. Maybe God had just forgotten you. You might have suffered some terrible things. But I pray that there shall be performance.
Amen.
There shall be performance. There shall be performance.
Amen.
There is a day that God makes his promise. And there is a day that God performs. God made a promise to Abraham at the age of 75. God did not bring that promise to pass until Abraham was 100 years old. But when God was bringing the promise to pass, he visited the house of Abraham personally. I pray for you this afternoon that the divine visitation needed for the promise of God to be performed in your life, by the mercy of God, this season, the angelic visitation of God, the visitation of the Most High, that brings to pass his promise, you will encounter in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are going to do great works.
Amen.
But there are only works that heaven has finished. Daddy, there's an appointed time for that which you have finished to come into manifestation. And together we agree with your people this afternoon that this is the appointed time. The time for you to bring to pass that which you have said concerning us in the name of Jesus. Whatever the great dreams you have given us, and we have been wondering when will we see its manifestation. Lord, we agree today that it will not tarry anymore.
Amen.
There will be no more delay.
Amen.
It will not be postponed.
Amen.
It will surely come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the mercy of God, grace to stay. Grace to stay on. Grace not to give up. Grace to hold on to the dream to the end. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. You might be hearing me this morning, and you have been dealt with, battered and dealt with in the pursuit of your dream. And you are thinking there's no more hope. But I pray for you this afternoon that because you have held on and you have not given up, because you have held on and you have not given up, Bible says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That after you have done the will of God with faith and with patience, you will obtain the promise. I decree and declare to your life that by the mercy of God, you will obtain that promise. You will obtain that promise. You will obtain that promise. Your waiting will not be in vain. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everything you have gone through will become a story. It will become a testimony. It will be things you will talk about that will make the story sweet. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Give a clap offering to the Most High. Give a clap offering. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you like to watch thrillers? Sometimes some movies, you find out that you're watching, and somewhere along the line, it looks like the main actor is going to die. Looks like there's no hope for him, you know. It creates suspense. It makes the movie sweet. And I want you to know there are some things that you are going through right now. It's going to make the story sweet. It's going to make the story sweet. Because at the end of the day, you are going to come true. Now, if there are no stories for you to tell along the line, it doesn't make the testimony look big. But when the test is big, the testimony sounds bigger. Does it make sense? So everything you are going through is just part of the ingredients to make the story sweet. And I know your story of greatness will be sweet. Can somebody say, my story will be sweet? Amen. You see, I've heard great men of God, they tell their stories. One preacher was saying to me, a preacher said he had found out that everybody who became great, they had a very humble background or they had a terrible past, and somehow something happened. So they had a story that when the time they are saying their story, people are so eager to hear. But he didn't have that type of background. He came from a very nice home, and so he was wondering, how will they appreciate me? I'm a straight guy, I'm very clean. I don't have a story. As God said, you want a story? I can give you one. Amen. And I want you to know that what you are going through right now are the stories you will tell. Amen. And it doesn't matter what you are going through. At the end of the day, heaven will celebrate you. Amen. Your greatness will surely come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.